Today at the last chapter of the book of Romans, chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. Okay. As you look at this chapter superficially, it looks like just a whole bunch of greetings, which they are included. There's a lot of people mentioned in this chapter. And you know, when you stop to think about it, Paul said he had never been to Rome before, and yet he already knew all these people that lived there. Perhaps he had met them some other part of the empire, somewhere else. He had known these people, and now they've gone back to Rome. That tells us, I guess, that people traveled a great deal back in the first century. They were in various places, and Paul had known a number of them, and so he's sending greetings to them as he concludes this book. So let's read from verse 1. I commend you unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. So Paul begins here with giving a commendation to Phoebe. This apparently is the one who carried the letter, the epistle of Romans, to the Romans, to the city. Paul gave her that responsibility to carry this wonderful epistle to the people at Rome. So there's a lady here carrying the word of God. And it's interesting, I thought, for those that may be interested in alliteration, I don't know if you are, a lot of preachers use this a great deal. He talks about Phoebe, our sister, a servant of the church. And she has become a saint, so she's a saint, and a succorer of many. So what in the world is a succorer? Well, we'll find out. But first of all, we see that she's a sister. That's the most basic part of the family, isn't it? One of the immediate relatives. She's a sister. She's been born again of the Spirit of God. She's a member of the family of God. She's a believer, one that you can count on. She was from the town of Cenchrea, which was the port city of Corinth. Paul is writing this letter from Corinth, and no doubt he had contact with the church that met at Cenchrea. And it says Phoebe is a servant of the church. And the word servant here is the same word from which we get the word deacon. So some people thought to call her a deaconess, but she probably did not have an official title or anything, but it means that she was one who was willing to serve. And she had a special place in the church where she would be able to serve. Like she's delivering this letter for Paul, and she has business at Rome. So probably it could have been business for the church. She was a servant of the church. She did this work and was a faithful person whom they could depend upon. And then it says, receive her as becometh saints. In other words, treat her like one of you. She is a child of God. You treat her with dignity, with respect. Help her in any way you possibly can. Now, she was going to be in a new city. I don't know if she had been there before or not. But it says, you believers, you help her in any way that you can. Assist her in whatever business she has need of you. You see? Assist her. And Then he says, because she has been a succorer of many and of myself also. Now the word succorer means helper, someone who helps in special ways, someone who is willing to go the extra mile to help, to help someone in their time of need. And so that's what he's talking about here, the word a helper. It's what it says in my Bible, a note here. So she was someone who was willing to do whatever needed to be done. Isn't that great? You know, that's wonderful when you have some a need and you know someone that's willing to fulfill that position. Just be available. You know, they say that's the greatest ability, is to be available. The availability is the greatest ability. And so she was one who was always on hand, willing to do whatever needed to be done. Sister, you know, that's one of the gifts of the church is the gift of helps. See? Just willing to help in whatever needs to be done. Here I am. Call on me. I'm ready to do it. This was Phoebe. And she's a lady, if you notice. So, ladies, you do have a place in the church. We know that, right? A great place. We'd be in sad shape if we didn't have the ladies of this church, that's for sure. Because there's so many things that you do that we would probably make a mess of, right? And so anyway, Phoebe was able to take the letter to Rome and do her business, and Paul is calling upon the church to come to her aid. So that's the first one that he mentions here. And then he starts his greetings. He has a whole list of greetings. There's 20-some people here that he mentions by name. Quite a number of them are ladies. And so Paul, you know, sometimes is accused of mistreating ladies. Sometimes they accuse him of putting them down. But he didn't at all. In fact, he recognizes them and mentions them by name here in this chapter. So we find here the greetings to the Roman Christians. And he starts off with this married couple. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. They're mentioned a number of times in the scriptures, Priscilla and Aquila. And they had at one time left Rome because of persecution. The emperor had said all the Jews have to leave Rome. So they were Jewish believers in Christ. And they had left Rome at one time and gone to Corinth. They had went to Ephesus. And now they're back in Rome again. And it's something to notice about them is that everywhere they went, they started a church. Can you imagine? This is a couple that had this upon their hearts to do this. Paul calls them my helpers in Christ Jesus. So they were his assistants and willing to take up and help in various ways in teaching the Word of God and in reaching out to other people. And I have a few verses here on them. They're mentioned a number of times. Let's look in Acts chapter 18. Acts 18. And here we have verse 2. Well, let me read verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. See? So Priscilla and Aquila were already there in Corinth. They had set up their tent makers business. And Paul comes in and he joins with them, and no doubt probably lives with them during the time that he's there and carries on this business of making tents and other things of that nature that they did. And then he says in verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and so forth. Then down to verse 18, and Paul after this tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. So they went from Corinth with Paul to Ephesus. And he left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Okay, so then verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So we find here Aquila and Priscilla active in the work of the Lord. And here, this traveling evangelist, so to speak, came in preaching the gospel, and yet he had a deficiency in certain areas. He didn't understand everything, and so they took him. They probably said after church, you know, after the synagogue service, actually, "Oh, Apollos, hey, would you like to go out and have something to eat?" So they took him and sat down at the table, and they began to talk about various things and taught him the truth, and that he might be able to be a better minister of the gospel. Isn't that great? A married couple working together to instruct this man in the ways of the Lord. And Paul is rejoicing in that. So then we have, as I said before, they started a church everywhere they went. Look with me in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 19. Excuse me. It says here, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. You see? So there they started the church, and then there's one more in 2 Timothy. It says, salute Prisca and Aquila and the church that's in their house. So here we find that they were consistent in their witness, their testimony, no matter whether they were in Corinth, in Ephesus, or in Rome. They always were serving the Lord and started a church everywhere they went. Back in those days, you know, they didn't have a church like we have here. They met in homes. That's one reason I think Paul is talking greeting these various groups of people, because probably they belong to different house churches. And here he's talking about Priscilla and Aquila and all that they did. So again, we find something that this married couple were able to do together, ministering the word of God. Even though they weren't preachers, they still were able to serve. He says in verse 4, here, back to our text, verse 4 it says, Priscilla and Aquila, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. So at Rome, they started another church. But he says, they laid down their necks for me. Now, we don't know exactly when that happened, but they spent a great deal of time together, and no doubt they put their lives in danger in order to help Paul. So here we find these believers working together, and Paul is showing his appreciation to them for all that they have done for him. He goes on to say, salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Now here, Paul thinks about this man, the first convert he had in this particular place, in this province. It's always a joy when you're serving the Lord to have someone, the first person to come and to trust in Jesus as their Savior, you know? You think, hey, this is great. We're getting off to a start here. This man has come to know Christ. And this one that he mentions here now, Epaphroditus, was the first one in this particular place where he had worked preaching the gospel, and he came and said, yes, I do want to receive the Lord Jesus. So he's the first fruit. And what a joy it is to see people accept Christ, and especially the first ones, encourages the missionary or the pastor in that way. He goes on, verse 6, he says, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. She was working for Paul, bestowed labor. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. So here's some seasoned believers. They were saved before Paul. They had been Christians a long time. And he calls them here his kinsmen. So that means, according to what I was studying, it seems to mean that they were Jewish believers. In the city of Rome, of course, mostly Gentiles. But these were Paul's kinsmen. I don't think, apparently it doesn't mean, you know, blood relatives, but it means that they were fellow Jews. And but he says, my fellow prisoners. So they had served time along with Paul. And no doubt that's maybe where he met them, in prison, because Paul was oftentimes put in prison for preaching the gospel. And these this couple, perhaps a married couple, were also imprisoned because of their faith in Christ. Verse 8, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord, one that was especially dear to Paul. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Statius, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Paul thinks of something nice to say about each one of these, I guess. And it varies it a little bit. But approved in Christ. Isn't that a wonderful statement to make? That when the Lord looks at this person and he says, you're approved. Wow. And I hope you'll say that about us. Approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Now, he doesn't send a greeting directly to this man, so it's thought that either he was not a believer, or maybe he was already deceased, so he sent a greeting to those of his household that were believers, and sending greetings to them. Verse 11, salute Herodian, my kinsman again, another Jewish person. It's thought that perhaps he was of the family of Herod, with a name like that. Herodian could have been a relative of King Herod. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, again, a family, or perhaps some slaves even among them in the household, which are in the Lord, you see, the ones that are believers. Paul is sending these greetings to all of the various believers. Then he, verse 12, salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. And it's thought because of the way their names are, perhaps these were twins. We don't know for sure, but someone has suggested that. And but both of them together, laboring in the Lord, working for the cause of Christ. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. So here's a real worker. He labors much. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. That's another one we'll stop and look at for a moment. Rufus, you remember when, let's see, I have a reference here in Mark. When Jesus was going to the cross, he was going to be crucified, that is, and he fell under the weight of the cross. And the Roman soldier conscripted this man that was coming in, Simon. He was from Cyrene in Africa, remember? And he made him carry the cross. And it speaks of it that he is the father of Alexander and Rufus. And so it is thought, this is from Mark 15. Let's take a look at that. Make sure I get it right. Mark 15:21, where we're talking about the crucifixion, the last part of Mark, chapter 15, verse 21. It says, "And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." Now Mark is the one who wrote basically to the Roman church. He wrote his epistle was primarily directed toward them. And so it mentions Rufus and Alexander. So it's someone that they would know. Right? And so perhaps this is the same Rufus that was the son of Simon that bore the cross of Christ. So we can let our imaginations run a little bit and realize that perhaps Simon, through his encounter with Jesus, came to become a Christian, and his sons then were saved and active in the church. And his wife also, because it says salute Rufus, and his mother and mine. So Rufus's mother apparently was like a mother to Paul. So he had met them. We don't know where. Perhaps in Jerusalem, since that's where they were last seen. And he mentions all these encounters. It's interesting, you know, you stop and think of the people that you meet. Every once in a while I think of someone, you know, that I've known from a different place. And meditate on that a little bit and think, you know, how wonderful it was to know that person. That's what Paul's doing here. He's thinking back through all these encounters that he's had with people and the way in which they've helped him. And, you know, as we are looking through all these people, we see how many times Paul says he's a helper. He's a comforter. She's one who has been a succorer of many. And all of this, the great apostle Paul, we think of him, he gets the press, so to speak. And these other people were in the background, and yet they were serving, weren't they? The Lord uses all kinds of people for all kinds of reasons, purposes, to help in the ministry of the gospel. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's giving them credit. And tells us over in the book of Hebrews, God is not unfaithful to remember what we do for him. And that's what Paul is saying here. Thank God for Rufus and his mother. She's been like a mother to me. Goes on in verse 14, salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Metrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Like I say, this is probably one of the house churches. He can think of some of their names, others. He may not know their names, but this is a group of believers. He says, give them greetings. I'm coming to see you. I'm looking forward to being there. Give them my greetings. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. It's probably another church. So there were quite a number of different churches in the city of Rome back in those days. And he's greeting them. Verse 16, the last one, I believe. Salute one another with a holy kiss. How about that? Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So here we see the oneness in the church. We are all independent churches. It's mentioned here in the plural, the churches of Christ. But yet we're all one, and we salute one another with a holy kiss. This was the custom back in those days to greet someone and kiss them on both cheeks. They still do that in many countries. Over in Italy, I know they still do it. I remember the guys with their beards and everything, scratch your face and all of that. But men kiss men and women kiss women, okay? It's not nothing romantic about this. But anyway, it's just like we would say shake hands or tap somebody on the shoulder or something, you know, just greeting someone and showing that we appreciate them, that we love them, and we want to be with them and so forth. And that's what Paul is saying here. All of the churches joined together and giving you greetings. We want to greet you. Okay, then he changes the subject a little bit here in verse 17. Let's see, got through all of this list. He gives some warnings and instructions. Paul wants them to understand that some things that they need to look out for. And certainly we need that as well. Verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So here Paul gives them a little warning and instructs them in how they should conduct themselves. He says, be careful for certain people. Watch out for those that would divide you. You know, they come in and cause problems and divisions and bring in some other doctrine. Oh, I've got a new revelation from the Lord. Be careful. Be careful. And mark them. And if you see that they're leading you in a different direction, he says, avoid them. So there is a time to avoid certain people if they are teaching something that's contrary to God's word. We have to be careful on that. Contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. And he says, there are those who are not serving the Lord, but rather their own interests. You know? Just wanting to fatten their own wallet or something. Some people taking advantage of God's people. They sound good, you know. And yet you have to be careful. What are they saying, you know, in these wonderful speeches that are made and so forth? Are they teaching the Word of God, or are they, you know, buttering you up and seeking to gain something for themselves? We have to be careful. We're always talking about the televangelists, you know, some of them at least, that want you to send in everything you've got, you know, and you have to be careful of those people and avoid them, actually. Stick with what you know. Stick with God's word. And he said, I'd rather you be wise towards that which is good, simple concerning evil. You don't need to practice evil. There's enough of that around. You know, some of it will attach to you even though you don't want it, right? You don't need to practice evil. Stay away from it. Be simple toward that which is evil. And it says this wonderful word of encouragement, the God of peace. Isn't that a wonderful name? The God of peace. You know, peace, peace, they say, where there is no peace. Where do you find peace? It's only in God, in Christ. That's where the peace comes in. The peace that passes all understanding, you see. And we don't find peace in following after the things of this world. We follow it in following after the Lord. And he says, he shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Know you like that? Huh? God's going to take care of him. We were studying that in Sunday school this morning. The Lamb, when he comes again, the Lord Jesus, is going to overcome the Antichrist, the beast. He's going to win the victory. He'll bruise Satan under your feet. Verse 21, now we find some greetings. Paul is sending from those with him. These, his team, if you will. Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. So these are the ones that were working along with Paul there in Corinth at this time. He always had a team of workers with him, didn't he? Paul didn't try to do it by himself. That's one reason he knew so many different people, because he would have them help him to do... He'll have them help him do the ministry. And so Timothy especially, you remember, he took him under his wing from Lystra and took him with him on his missionary journeys and taught him all that he needed to know, and then placed him in a church to minister. And he did that with a lot of different people. Verse 22 says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. He slipped that in, I guess. This is the secretary. Paul dictated his epistles, and someone would write them down. And here we know who wrote the book of Romans. It was Tertius. That's all we know about him. But anyway, he says, I want to give my greetings as well. So he was a faithful believer that Paul dictated to, and he wrote down the words. So he served his purpose too, didn't he? Simply by writing down the words that Paul said. What a wonderful thing that was. Paul had problems with his eyes, apparently. And so he couldn't see to write all of this book. And so he quoted the words, and he wrote it down, and Tertius wrote it down. Verse 23, Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Again, we find Gaius there at Corinth, had Paul living in his home, and also he had a church meeting in his home. So he was a host, as he says here. It's like over in 3 John, we had that at the picnic, I think, talking about the Gaius there. Whether it's the same person or not, we don't know. But the same kind of person. One who was willing to show hospitality. Over in 3 John, we find that the Gaius there was bringing in the missionaries that were traveling about and helping them, supplying their needs, giving them food. And here, this Gaius is also a hospitable person, taking Paul into his house and then also having the church services right there. And then he mentions another one, Erastus, the chamberlain of the city. So it's a city official, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. So all of these are from Corinth. Paul is sending greetings from them as well. Then he closes with this benediction in verse 24. It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So he closes out the book with this wonderful prayer, a doxology, a benediction to God. May he receive all the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word to our hearts this morning. We pray that we might be faithful to you as a church, that each one of us will take our part and do the things that you have called upon us to do, that we might be helpers, comforters, encouragers, strengthening one another, and being a blessing to each other in all that we do and say, and to love each other, to serve you faithfully together, so that we might be able to accomplish your will and purpose, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to help us to truly be a church that is concerned for one another and for those around us. Help us to reach out to others, to welcome them, and to see more and more people coming to Christ and following him. Thank you so much, Lord, for all your love to us today. Bless and guide us as we close, as we go to our homes. Watch over us and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.